nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin, yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge? Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
An elderly woman named Maud had a window seat on a big 747 jetliner that had just taken off for Rome from New York. She had been saving it for years to fulfill her dream to visit the Eternal City. But it was her first flight, and she was terrified. Even the sacred presence of four bishops seated behind her didn't help. Fear and trembling, she finally opened her eyes and peered out the window, just in time to see one of the plane's four engines break loose from the wind and disappear into the clouds. "We're going to die," she cried out. "We're going to die." The stewardess consulted with the pilot and announced to the passengers that everything was under control and they could fly back to New York and land safely with three engines. But Maud continued to cry out, "We're going to die." The stewardess went to her and said, "Don't worry over here. God is with us. We have only three engines, but look, we have four bishops to pray for us." To which Maud replied, "I'd rather have four engines and three bishops." I'm with Maud. And I think you feel like maybe you're with Maud too, because we'd like to see our security. We'd like to be able to touch it, to see it. We'd much rather have that than the mysterious realities of the kingdom of God that are represented by the four bishops. And yet, Christ tells us to trust in that reality is not a shared alarm, it's not some fabled city, but it is real. In fact, it's more real and more substantial than the reality that I live in mostly. You know, last week that evening, Dad said, "You guys are the players, you're the athletes, go team. Get out there and do the play game you're supposed to play. Get in your head in the game." It reminded me of 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, which says, "An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." And another place, in the left of the Hebrews, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Oh, that's where the courage is. Let go of our sin. Let go of our unbelief. To believe in the reality of His kingdom, the reality of His presence. Because we have not only the reality of His presence, we have these cheerleaders cheering us on, the saints who are going before us, these cloud of witnesses. But we need to access by faith their presence in a sense. They have God's presence as well. Christ experienced persecution. He experienced humiliation, and he experienced suffering and death. And so we should not expect that he lasts all day to say it, but he warns us. Paul is accounted as a criminal, he says. And today, you look at the news, we're accounted as bigots, we're criminals, we're terrorists. God help us. And yet, when we stand up for Christ and for the boundaries of the gospel, we can expect to be persecuted. Because there are those in the world who have a different ideology that they want to promote. It's not going to get them to heaven. It's a false ideology. There are women striving to live by faith that are going to go against us. And ridicule, even in that religious stuff, it's just superstition. What do you Christ calls us to stand fast. But why? Why is struggle? Why is darkness? Why does it have to be so hard? And Paul tells us in our second reading that we have inherited the sin of Adam. And through the sin of Adam, suffering and death have come into the world. And so Christ came, so that by not being incorporated to Christ by our baptism, we overcome them. Yes, we have still our receiving of that, we still have those wayward desires within us, the sort of desires that can lead us astray, but Christ is here to help us keep moving forward. And that's why we have the sacraments of reconciliation. I mean, we have a God who is so merciful and compassionate, who's willing to help us grow into the image of Christ that we are called to be, into the sons and daughters of God. You know, the church celebrates this article of faith with their praise. From out of compassion for the waywardness that is ours, he humbled himself and was born of a virgin. By the passion of the cross, he freed us from our end to death. And by rising from the dead, he gave us life eternal. So he's won this race for us, this redemption for us. But we also need to take hold of it, and we take hold of it by faith, brothers and sisters. By believing, by trusting in the Lord, by taking each day as it comes, asking God for the help that we need, and moving forward in faith. Asking, well, who is it that I can talk to about you today, Lord? How can I glorify your name today, Lord? It's about Him, it's not about us. It's about what He calls us to, it's about the mission that He's given to each of us, as Satan has talked about, you know, last week. You know, the parable, the gospel today parallels first book of Joshua, the first chapter. God says to Joshua and his Israelites before they enter the promised land, he says, be strong and steadfast. Three times he says, be strong and steadfast. Why? Because entering the promised land, you're not just going to mold in. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to struggle. It's going to be a battle. There's going to be lots of battles. But I will be with you. Help you overcome your enemies. The same is true. Christ is saying the same thing to his apostles and to us as well. Do not fear. Why? He gives us three reasons why we should not fear. First is that God will reveal what is hidden in darkness. He will uncover what is being secretly proclaimed, what is being secretly said. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness. Secondly, because God has sent Christ to provide salvation for all people. This is for everybody. So you and I need to believe that and take the steps necessary to help evangelize our families. You know, as Simon said today, you know, even our families may reject us. Even our families may ridicule us. You know, I've become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my children, he says. So that perfect love can't stop you. Thirdly, because God knows everything that we go through, Jesus and others. Nothing happens that escapes you. And we feel lonely and abandoned. It seems that our prayers are answered, or not answered, and sleeping somewhere, and you can't wake up. I need you. God is always there for us. The perfect antidote for fear is trust in God. God is our shelter and our strength. Always ready to help in times of trouble, so we need not be afraid. Now we're going to feel fear. We're going to feel trepidation. St. Barnabas, who was writing about it in the 8th century, he writes about the fear and trepidation he felt every time he went to proclaim the gospel in Germany. And yes, he was right. But courage is not having no fear. Courage is overcoming the fear that we experience. So it's a means for God to purify us, help us grow more and more in that courageous trust in the Lord that He calls us to. So, you know,